Kalis is down to number 4 and falling. Cloudy skies over Europe. You're tuned in to League Radio. Yes, that when I say League Radio, I say the League of Untouchable American Gamers. This is Steve Weeks, the Mad Gamer, coming to you from Houston, Texas, at League headquarters, the bungalow that's hidden deep beneath the earth, away from all the crybabies on Board Game Geek. I want to get started here. I want to get right into this because I was just looking at this, and I don't want to lose my train of thought. A lot of you probably didn't see this because the way they've got the geek now, all my stuff gets buried, you know, with negative thumbs. But we were talking about the idea of the murky middle, and when I say the murky middle, this is I'm talking about game reviewers and how they tend to these reviewers that get free games, and you know, I have an issue with that. They tend to rate games in the middle, give them a 5, 6, or 7, in order not to insult the game designer or the game dealer that gave them the free game, and you know, and still ensure that they still get free games. And I call that's my theory, the murky middle. And I was talking to Tom Vassell about this, and I printed this out here. The game that came up was Desert Bazaar. I'm not familiar with this game, but it was apparently designed by one of Tom's one of his friend's brothers, and the guy that was debating me on the thread in the forum, he said, you know, he was saying Tom trashed it, and the guy was related to him, and I replied, you know, Tom rated the game a 5, and I was asking the guy, what's his definition, you know, of trash in a game? Because to me, you know, that was supporting my theory. A rating of 5 seems right in the middle on a 1-10 rating system. And Tom jumped into the fray here, which he shouldn't have done, because he just walked right into this. I was trying to pin him down on exactly, because you never see the guy give a bad rating hardly on anything, or his, and that's what I was talking about, the murky ratings. Anyway, here's what he said. He says, I didn't trash the game. I personally don't like it, but he said he thinks others, perhaps several others, would, hence the 5. And he addresses me. He said, Mr. Weeks, 5 is a never something I give a game I would play. It's not in the middle any more than 50 on a test is the middle score. He goes, I'm pretty sure that if my daughters came home touting their average grades of 50, they would have a talk about it. So I was beginning to understand his rating scheme there, because he was talking about comparing the rating of 5 to 50 on a test. So, okay, that makes sense. And I replied, and I was thanking him for the clarification on that. And so I said, in other words, Tom, you're giving Desert Bazaar a grade of an F, right? And then he comes back and says, the grade analogy isn't perfect. I was just using that as an example that 5 isn't always the average. I mean, you guys read this for yourself if you can find it. I think the best way to look at this is go to the my profile and just click on it. I think I was responding to a thread by Michael Barnes, or this was my own thread, but it was my acceptance speech, I think, to his trashy awards. But this is just a perfect example of how the guy is slipping and sliding all over the place and won't admit to what his ratings mean. So take a look at that. Yeah, now, speaking of ratings, I was looking, and a lot of this show, my show here, it's just going to be ad-libs. And I don't want any of you guys coming to me and telling me in your critique that, what a bad job. Bubbles is running the audio in this, so... And I'm not a technical guy, and she's doing this. We're actually pretty excited about this because she's got a her own little booth set up in there. But she tells me she don't want to be doesn't want to talk. So I'm going to try to convince her in maybe a later show that she can talk. But anyway, I was talking about Alan Moon. Yeah, He came out with a geek list of his favorite games of 2006, and in that, in his introduction there, he talks about game ratings, and I want to see where he says, he doesn't rate games on the Board Game Geek. He says one reason he can't quantify numbers on a 10-point scale, and this is what, if you look at my reviews from the League of Untouchable American Gamers, this is what I've been talking about. We don't rate games on our reviews either. We either recommend them or don't recommend them. And I was glad to see Alan agreed with me on this. And he points out something that was that's really obvious, but I never even thought about it. He says when he sees ratings like 7.5, meaning the rater has gone to a 20-point scale. He's right. It's a 20-point scale, and Greg Schlosser. Reviews games on that scale too, which even gives him more wiggle room too, which was going back to Tom and the murky middle. Schlosser even has more wiggle room than Tom, and go take a look on Schlosser's on his reviews and how he rates them. His bell curve is perfect, just perfect. So but anyway, I was glad to see that Alan Moon agreed with me on that, but he goes on to talk about how he rates them on a 1 to 4. And he's got Battlelore way down on the list. I'm glad to see he has it on the list, because it's really, folks, it's really the best game of the year. It's no question about that. And we'll get into those awards later. Well, I have my own set of awards that you guys probably didn't see either, since they were buried on the Geek. But I tell you one thing, Alan needs to get over himself here. He's talking about negative crusaders, beware. If you post something like, I hate this game or this game sucks, I'll delete these comments. Constructive criticism, on the other hand, is both welcome and appreciated. Come on, Alan. I mean, you got to be able to debate some of this stuff. And by the way, apparently a lot of people like what he said. I have never seen this many thumbs up on that stupid... moderation system that Aldi put in place. 227 thumbs up. And a little later, I'm going to go over my negative count. I want to keep you folks posted on that, exactly how many negatives I am getting. But anyway, I want to welcome you folks to the show. Sit tight, we got a great show. We'll be right back, and we'll be talking about those awards, the Platinum Pawn Awards, and comparing those to Greg Schlosser's IGA Awards in just a second. Hang on.
He's gone.
our trash versus Euro war continues. Who's going to win? We don't know. We don't care, but we will find out. What was we were going to talk about? The awards. Yes. As you know, Greg Schlosser has set up the International Gamers Awards. And how in the hell St. Petersburg won, I don't know. You got all of these guys sitting around overanalyzing in this committee. No telling, you know, how it's done. I don't care how it's done, but I know the way I do it's better. And I'm going to tell you right now, when we talk about the league does exist. It does exist. But the thing is, the members of the league, they don't know they're a member. There's only a couple of guys that actually know they're a member of the league. The rest of them are, I count them as the league, but they're members of my game group. Groups, I should say. I got at least three game groups, one at work, one at my hometown, and one here in Houston. And what I do is during the year, as they play games, I notice their reactions, because I think if you know you're going to vote for a game to have an award, you're gonna look at it a little different. These guys have no idea. And when I say these people, some of them are gamers, not on the level of obsession as Schlosser and Vassal, but some of them are gamers. Some of them are just regular guys. We got male, female from all different cultures and everything. And that's why I think this is more representative. The Platinum Pawn Awards that I've set up are more representative on the games than the International Gamer Awards are. Because I think these guys just get in and overanalyze. Really, that's what happens. And you end up with the St. Petersburg. And we're going to talk about... By the way, Schlosser declined the debate with Michael Barnes, but he wrote an email. And in the email, he and I went back and forth, and he does talk about St. Petersburg, which is we're going to bring up later with Michael. But I want to talk about the Platinum Pawn Awards. And if you guys want to read this, it should still be on the Geek if it hasn't been deleted by the admins. There's no reason it should be. There were no personal attacks in there, so you guys can get over that. The Oscars of the Game Awards is what it's called, the Platinum Pawn. And the reason I call it the Platinum Pawn, platinum being one of the most valuable metals, is a tribute to these guys' greatness. These games' greatness, and the pawn being not, you know, we humble ourselves as a pawn. That's the idea, though, how it works. So the first award I gave was Game of the Year, and I had three nominees this year. I had Blue Moon City by Reiner Kanizsa, Railroad Tycoon by Glenn Drover and Martin Wallace, and Battlelore by Richard Bourque. And I know Battlelore was released late in the year. And look, we're not a... This is one thing I hate is a fiscal year. All these years cut off. I know the IGA cuts off around Essence time or whatever. But we don't do that. If you release your game on December 31st of the year and we see it and we play it, it's in the competition to win a Platinum Pawn Award. The winner, of course, there was no contest. Well, the good Blue Moon City and Railroad Tycoon were good games and very good games. But Battlelore was far and above the best game of the year. Everybody I played it loved it. And I really think this Richard Bourque has found the sweet spot in gaming. I think his stuff is it's got... Somebody else was talking about this. It's got enough meat for real gamers, but it's still, it's easy enough for other guys to pick up. And by the way, I think I have all of them. I have Battlelore, Memoir 44, and Battlecry. I have all of them. And I disagree with some of the people that say you're not going to play Battlecry or Memoir 44 after you play Battlelore. I think they're all different enough that... And they have their own little idiosyncrasies there that you're still going to play those. And I think they're really good. So Battlelore wins Game of the Year. The Platinum Pawn for Richard Bourque on that one. We had one more award. And as these awards develop over the years, we're going to be giving more out. But we have two. And I have one more I'm going to give on this show right after this. So that hasn't been posted. But the second award I gave that was posted on the Geek, if you can find it, if you can wade through Aldi's silly system, is Game Reviewer of the Year. I had four outstanding game reviews, and these are game reviews by Board Game Geek members. The first, Michael Barnes, for his review of Dreamblade. Now, Dreamblade, I haven't played this. It's a new collectible HeroClix type miniature collectible game that looks very interesting. Michael gave it a 10, and he has been very outspoken against collectible games, which was really surprising me about the guy, because he's actually a dealer, and he usually don't, you know, recommend these collectible games, but he did recommend this one. And you got to read the review. You can see it under his profile. Just look for his reviews, the ones he gave a 10 or Dreamblade. It's really, really well written, and it makes me want to go out and try the game. And I, like I told Michael before, I'm suspicious he's a dealer. Maybe he's just trying to sell some merchandise. You can't blame him for that, but we're going to check this out and see if this is really as good as Michael Barnes says it is. But the review is outstanding, and it was nominated for Game Reviewer of the Year with Michael Barnes. The second guy that got a nomination in the Platinum Pawn Awards is Chris Farrell for his review of Leonardo da Vinci. Chris is, if you guys are not familiar with Chris Farrell, he does great, great work on the Geek. He's primarily, especially any of you guys into war games, check out Chris's comments and reviews, because they're really great. And I bought a lot of war games on recommendation of Chris. His review of Leonardo da Vinci was interesting, because he talks about how he goes against the internet buzz, which apparently Leonardo da Vinci did not get very good word of mouth on the internet, at least according to him. And he talks about how he goes against this and forms his own opinion, and he likes the game. This is the kind of attitude I'm talking about. We like the Geek itself is the Board Game Geek site tends to it mind numb us with the Euro, seems to be Euro crazy, but not anymore, not with the Ameritrash revolution that's going on, thanks to Barnes, thanks to Robert Martin, and thanks most of all to myself for taking the microphone in hand and leading the charge and stepping up to the mic, and that's what we're going to do here. Okay. Number three, Robert Martin, for his review of Cities and Knights of Catan. What a great format this is. You got to check this guy's review of this out, because it really is one of the clearest presentations I've seen in a review. If you read, if you've ever waded through a Schlosser or Vassal mind-numbing review that goes on and just reiterates the rules over and over, and you can't get anywhere with it, check out Robert Martin. He knows how to write. He hasn't done a lot of reviews. He's not up in the 2000s like Schlosser is. And incidentally, Schlosser puts all his reviews and session reports. I don't know how much flack I took for putting my reviews in Geek List in the forums where it's not placed. You anal guys need to get over that, because take a look at Schlosser. He's putting all his reviews in session reports. Greg, put your reviews in the reviews, okay? And you guys get off my back on that, because you need to look at Schlosser. He's putting them on session reports. Speaking of Schlosser, number four, Greg Schlosser, for his review of Cave Troll. This was a good review. We're not biased here. We're not biased at all. If Greg does a good review, we're gonna recognize it. And he does that with his review of Cave Troll. Now, if any of you guys have followed any of Greg's stuff, you know that he hates, with a passion, dungeon crawl games. And while I have Cave Troll, it's not a dungeon crawl per se. It's a great game. But check out Greg's review on that, because he really goes against the bias. It's not a game that he normally would play, and he does a good job with the review. And we recognize that, despite our total opposition of Greg. By the way, Greg is an arch enemy of the show, of this show. We have three arch enemies of this show. Greg Schlosser, number one. Tom Vassell. And Aldi himself for his censorship. And on the Board Game Geek side, he is an arch enemy. We're going to talk about Dirk later. Dirk has is on a thread. Actually, I listened to all of those guys, their webcast, and I liked them. We're going to talk about that a little later, but Dirk, we'll get into Dirk, why Dirk is almost an arch enemy of the show. But we have the three arch enemies of the show, Greg Schlosser, Tom Vassell, and Aldi. And who won the Platinum Palm for that review? The best game reviewer of the year, it went to Robert Martin for his review of Cities and Knights of Catan. Congratulations, Robert. We're going to have Robert on the show, maybe this show, maybe next show, depending how long this goes. It's whatever I want. It's my show. I'll do what I want, you know, so. Okay. Bubbles is giving me a look that I don't like. By the way, listen to this guy. She's doing the show. She's running the sound. She's in her underwear. You got to see her. And she is a knockout, by the way. She does exist. She is a knockout. That's not a real name. I had to change it because I don't want you guys coming out and chasing her down. But she is a knockout. I actually did get some... I didn't get much comments on this, but the guys that did get nominated did comment. Robert Martin comments, "Holy shit, I won. What do I do now?" And we'll ask him, we'll talk to him about this, what he thinks about this. And if we're going to see any more reviews from Robert, because I think we should, I think the domination of Vassell and Schlosser has definitely got to stop on the Board Game Geek. We need more people that are more vocal and more talented. I don't think these guys are that talented, to be perfectly honest with you. I've seen much better writing out of... Just check it out for yourself. This is my opinion, but you just check out Robert Martin and his Cities and Knights of Catan review, and I think you'll agree that it's well written. Greg Schlosser does comment on this. He says, "Thanks for the nomination." You're welcome, Greg. You did a good job on that. You need work on some of your other areas, and your awards need to go, but you did a good job on the Cave Troll review. Also, Glenn Drover commented and said it was an honor to be nominated. Yes, Glenn, we do feel your pain, Glenn. You have taken a beating on this site. And I've talked about this, and I don't remember what thread it was, but how Eagle Games has just taken a beating on Board Game Geek. And it was at the, you know, Age of Mythology, and some guy even had, you know, saying, "Is Eagle Games going out of business?" And Glenn in his had to reply with sales figures. So we don't normally, it's our policy, we don't normally talk to game designers because, as you know, the league is untouchable. And we don't want to get in and be real chummy with these guys because we want to give you our honest opinion on these games. And we don't take free games here. So we buy them, and believe me, if we pay for a game, we're going to tell you what we think about it, okay? And that's the awards. Now, what about me? I got some awards this year. Yes, I did. Michael Barnes gives me the Who's the Ass Award. And we want to thank Michael for that. And what exactly did you mean, Michael? Are you calling me an ass or what? If you did, you better look out. You're going to be like Aldi and afraid of me and not respond to my emails. And believe me, Aldi, you should be afraid. All right. I'm very proud of the fact, I didn't get an award for this, but one of the admins wrote, "If any of you saw my outstanding, had to be the best geek list of all time, the SmackDown boxing match, wrestling match, whatever it was, of... I can't remember. My mind is slipping. But it was a wrestling match, I think, between Greg Schlosser and Michael Barnes. And what it was is each of them, they fought over games and came out with Dungeon Quest, and then Greg came out with his silly Euro games that tried to top him. Of course, Barnes won. But even Greg himself said that list, he enjoyed the list. And it just everything just went out of hand after that. And later an admin told me that if you didn't see the list, he said, we've never got more complaints on that list than anyone. So I hold the record for the most complaints on the list. I'm going for the record of the most negative thumbs, and I'm determined to get there. And with your help, I can get there. And I hope you will support me in this quest of negative thumbs. And by the way, the most complaints on that SmackDown wrestling list between Slosser and Michael Barnes, I use no profanity, nothing. It was just it is amazing how it got to the people. I still laugh today, and I wish I had a copy of it. So if any of you admins are listening, and I know you're listening, Aldi, I know Dirk is listening. Hello, guys. I know you're listening to this. I want you to just send me if you can send me that list, email it to me somehow in text form or whatever you want to do. I won't post it, so don't have a cow on that. I know you guys can't stand that, but I would like to have it and make it available to, you know, by email to anybody that actually would want to read it, because it is to be quite without going, you know, over my head, it was just a work of art. I have to say, we're going to be right back. You stay tuned. We got more coming. Hang on.
My boy, you gotta go. Oh, I
Bubbles, we're almost... Bubbles, we're almost out of beer. I thought you were gonna go to the store. Latin Mojo, that's a great song. Great song. You guys, you folks ever notice that one thing about computer people, they have no mojo. Have you noticed that? They don't. They have no mojo. I don't know what it is. Maybe it was stolen, like in the Austin Powers movie. Let's not get on this equipment here. What were we talking about? Oh, I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Well, this is a new thing for me. But I did listen. I did try to pick up some pointers from the master. I listened to almost every one of the podcasts that Aldi and Dirk did. I have to tell you, I got a kick out of Aldi because he had almost no emotion, and he would get real close to the mic, you know. He would talk, yeah, you know, yeah, yeah, and show no emotion. And you could almost see him just sitting there with his laptop or whatever he was working on, just watching the level meters to make sure they were perfect. But I gotta hand it to those guys. They were pioneers. They started this off, but you know, they should have left it to the professionals, which is why I'm here. Aldi, I tell you what, that censorship thing and his moderation thing that he's put on, it's a tough thing. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But Dirk, I tell you what, I like Dirk. He seemed like a real stand-up guy and was willing to give his opinion. He would go so far, and I know what you guys, oh, he's a nice guy. He's not going to go over the line like maybe I do, maybe Barnes does. But I'm just talking about him giving his opinion. And one thing that really bugged me, one thing that made him go down a notch on my list, was that he would say, whatever, a lot, whatever. That's one thing, it's a pet peeve of mine. I can't stand that. I can't stand when a girl, especially a girl, says whatever. But when a guy says it, he's probably like the only guy I've ever heard say whatever, you know, which is the... catch-all phrase for girls that don't give a crap. They just say whatever, and it's bad enough when they say it, but when he said it, it just kind of gives me the creeps. All right, so he goes down a notch when he says whatever, right? But the next thing, I don't know if any of you guys listen to their Geek Speaks or Board Game Speaks. I don't know why they changed the name. I guess they were threatened with a lawsuit or something. But the second thing, they were talking to Reiner Kanizsa, the game designer. And I was really excited on this one because I thought Dirk was going to let him have it on some of these issues that he had with his games. But Dirk, I tell you, he started off and then you could almost see him melting. The man folded like a cheap suit talking to Reiner Kanizsa. I don't know. I mean, the guy's an ex-banker. I mean, what's there to be intimidated about Kinesia? But and then he basically takes over their show. I can see that with Aldi. I can see him just, you know, Aldi seems the more timid type, you know, because, you know, he won't even email me. He's scared. And he should be. You should be scared, Aldi. But Dirk, he just folded like a cheap suit. So that was two. He goes down two notches there. All right, so he's becoming closer and closer to an arch enemy of the league. But he's not there yet. He's still hanging. I still think he's got potential to really stand up. You know, in Texas, we like to be stand-up guys and give our opinion. And he lived in Texas for a while. Now he's in New York, I think. And you would think, as a New Yorker, he would have a little more chutzpah to him and stand up and talk on his... Even on his remarks on the Geek are kind of tame. He always prefaces it, in my humble opinion, or something. I know you guys, oh, that's nice. That's the way you do it. But I want to see him... You know, there's nothing wrong with giving your opinion. And you probably noticed the cuss words on this show have been down to a minimum, and they will be. But I'm not going to tell anybody else how they want to speak. Anybody that wants to come on the show, they can speak how they want to speak. But we're talking about the third thing that Dirk goes down on my list. Have you guys seen his... Have you seen this? Have you seen his geek badge that says he loves is it Tishu, the card game? I hope I'm saying that right. Don't give me any nasty... It's Tishu. I think that's right. It's the card game he loves. Tishu whore is what he says. Dirk. And if any of you listen to their some of their geek speaks, Dirk complains about not having women. You know, he's upset he doesn't have women in his game group. I said, you know, wake up, Dirk. You have Tishu whore on your badge. I mean, change it to Tishu stud, and it might be different. Hang on, folks. We'll be right back. Got my head a-pounding. Where's the bottle? Here I found it. I know it's empty, that's not the problem. Look what's lying on the bottom. Hear me scream and holler. I want back my dollar. There's a worm in the bottom of the bottle. There's a worm in the bottom of the bottle, yeah. There's a worm in the bottom of the bottle. You know we got a problem here. There's something I just change my dealer. This guy, man, he's no pal. Some of this stuff called mezcal. Hear me scream and holler. Give me back my dollar. There's a worm in the bottom of the bottle. There's a worm in the bottom of the bottle, yeah. There's a worm in the bottom of the bottle. You know we got a problem here. There's something I just can't swallow. I just can't follow. Shake it up, senor. Know you got one some more. There's a worm in the bottom of the bottle, yeah. Don't you think it's so ironic that I drink all this Latin tonic and now I crave a cool cerveza, either that or a tongue eraser. Hear me screaming, holler. I'm back my dog. There's a worm in the bottom of the bottle. There's a worm in the bottom of the bottle, yeah. There's a worm in the bottom of the bottle. You know we got a problem here. There's something I just can't swallow. Worm in the bottom of the bottle, yeah. There's a worm in the bottom of the bottle. It may be a custom here for you, but there's something I just can't follow. Roll it up, senor. If you want some more, there's a worm in the bottom of the bottle, yeah. There's a worm. Did you ever, drink mezcal? Mezcal. Yeah, I went to Cancun. I was in Cancun on a vacation, and I picked up a bottle of that. So I think I'm going to switch to mezcal right now, because beer is just not cutting it. You think the personal tax, you call them personal tax. I call them, look, these aren't personal, these are just... You know, we're just kidding around here. We're just we're talking about ideas. All these guys are great guys. You're all a great guys, all right? You're all great guys on the geek. But yeah, I think I'm going to switch to. Let me bite the worm, and then we'll. Bubble says she's never had mezcal, but it's not. It's not like tequila. I don't know. You have to try it. It's a little stronger, and you do bite the worm. My cousin had eaten the worm, and he started seeing things. So maybe that'll happen to me. Maybe I'll start seeing the light with the Euro games, right? All right. But Dirk, we're talking about Dirk. We're going to help you out. You want girls in your game group. I'm sympathetic to that. It's not as hard as you. I have beautiful girls in my game group, at the one at work and the one here in town. And they love game. Girls love games, Dirk. They love them. But you got to approach it. And I've addressed this in my... I'm going to email to you personally my article, my posting on the single man's guide to dating and gaming. And I'm going to send that to you by email. Write that down. Remind me to send that to Dirk Bubbles. I was just thinking, Dirk may already be an archenemy of the league because that's three things we have that have lowered my Dirk on my scale. But there is a fourth. It just came to my head because I was reading a recent post of Dirk's. And as you know, Dirk has retired from podcasting, but fear not, I am here. And the professionals have arrived, Dirk. But the posting, Dirk was talking about, what's his name, Brian Bartling or something, the guy that does the cartoons on The Geek. And he was saying that he was considering coming out of podcasting retirement just to talk to this guy and see what makes him tick. Brian, the cartoon guy, what makes him tick, because in Dirk's words, this guy is painfully, painfully funny. Now, I don't know about you folks. Have you seen the recent cartoon on The Geek with the overweight guys looking at the, or as Michael Barnes would call them, beers and bellies? We want to thank Michael for that term. Looking at the maps on the wall. I mean, I got to check my ribs. My ribs hurt from laughing. So I don't get it. I wouldn't call that, Dirk, I wouldn't call that painfully funny. I mean, you're in New York. You have Broadway shows and all kinds of nightclubs. I mean, get out there and see some comedians. But that is not painfully funny. Now, I did like, and not putting Brian down, but I did like a couple of his cartoons, especially the one about Michael Barnes being tied down and the Meeples were attacking him. That was good. But we did like that one. But that's enough comments on Dirk. He doesn't deserve that much. And did you hear? Speaking of podcasting, did you hear the one that Aldi put on the front page? And by the way, Aldi refused. He didn't even answer me. He refused to post mine on the front page. And I told him. I said, look, you can say that the views represented in this podcast do not represent. You could even say they don't represent the majority of the people on The Geek, but it's there for pure entertainment. He's scared. You should be scared, Aldi. But but I'm talking about the podcast with I don't know who was doing this. Was it a husband and wife? As a man, you heard it. I played a little of that to you, Bubbles. We don't remember the name, but it was a husband and wife guy that he had posted. It was an interview with Dirk. Like, the man is a celebrity. And okay, I listened to it because I think Dirk has a great potential to actually voice his views on these games, but what does he do? He gets on there and talks about luggage. He talks about unpacking, packing up a bunch of games at Essen and cutting up the boxes. I mean, come on. This is not entertainment, Dirk. This is not interesting. And the guys, you guys that do podcasting, learn how to edit, okay? Learn how to edit. But, let me get this out of the way. Since you guys are so interested in, let me do my luggage. Because Aldi talked about luggage before, I believe, on one of his podcasts. I went home for Christmas. I took several games. I took Corsari, the card game. I took Mission Red Planet, Dungeon Quest. On the recommendation of Michael Barnes, I bought that. Fantastic. It was the hit of the Christmas, but anyway, the Christmas of vacation. But I packed all these games. They wouldn't fit. I took Ticket to Ride. I took Friedrich the War Game and several others. They couldn't fit. So what I did, I know you guys are interested in this. It's luggage. We've talked. Dirk's the master. Aldi's the master. And so am I. What I did was unbox the games. and put all the pieces in a plastic container and just pack the boards, and it fit. And that's my luggage segment for you. Hope you enjoyed that. But and you're talking about editing, Aldi. There was one great, I don't even think that they weren't trying to be funny, but it was so funny that I know you got a lot of technical guys that on the geek, a lot of computer guys that play games. But there was one show, and I forget the which one it was, but Aldi was talking about how he lost his data, and he was recovering. He went on and on, and then later in there, they're talking about, yeah, editing's the key to these shows. You're thinking, why didn't you edit that out? And you wonder what they did edit out. I mean, if they left that in, thinking that was interesting, you got to imagine, what did they cut out? Maybe the cuss words. I don't know. Maybe Dirk was showing some starch, you know, behind the scenes. Maybe Aldi was too, and we'd like to see that. We'd like to see him get more vocal. And there's nothing wrong with it. Nobody takes any of this personally, except the hypersensitive guys on there that. And kudos to Greg Schlosser, by the way. Kudos to Schlosser, because as much as I disagree with the guy, and he is an arch enemy of the show, the guy knows how to debate without taking it personal. Great email he sent back and forth, because I tried to get him on the show, the first show to have Schlosser. And by the way, Schlosser is the grand poobah. Some of you were thinking in some of my posting, when I say the grand poobah, that's Schlosser, Greg Schlosser. It's not Tom Vassell. That guy is not even close to being a poobah. Not even a junior poobah. Not even a minor poobah. Greg is the grand poobah. And talking about that, if you guys think this is personal attacks, it's not. We're just kidding these guys. We all like the guys. We're talking about ideas here. We're talking about, Aldi and Dirk put their podcasts out there. They're open to comment. You put your reviews out there, they're open to comment and debate. These are fine guys, but they're just, you know, you just need to straighten them out. Just get them back on the path to the, you know, way of gaming. They know, by the way, these guys know that the American games are far superior. They're just not going to say it. I was just looking at this. I got here a review. I was outvoted on this when we talked about this with some of the guys in the league. This is the one I wanted to give for great. It was so funny. You got to listen. You guys can pull this up. It's Greg's review of Spank the Monkey, the card game. And he talks about when he was in Essen, he gets a copy of this game. It looks like you got it free, Greg. Did you get it free? We want to see the receipt on this game, Greg. No, we're just kidding. But anyway, he graciously gave me a copy, so I guess he didn't buy it. That's what he says. But what's funny on this, Greg's, I must admit that I was immediately taken aback by the title. Spank the Monkey. Greg was taken aback. He sounds like Aunt B there, doesn't he? Just shocked to his foundation about the title. But Greg was taken aback by the title, and he asked this guy, he says, do you realize this is a euphemism for, well, a male solitary sexual act? No, Greg, we didn't know that, no. Thanks for pointing that out, Greg. This was the review he did on this was so funny. It deserves something. Maybe not a platinum pawn. Maybe Barnes has a better idea how to give an award for that. But that was funny. That was my vote for Greg in the platinum pawn awards. And I said earlier that we were going to give an award to on the air here. To someone that I didn't post in the earlier, and we already gave one for Best Game Battlelore. Best Game Reviewer goes to Robert Martin. But I'm going to give an award now to the best photo, the best picture on Board Game Geek that we've seen this year. And this picture, I think, epitomizes the spirit of gaming. And I talked to the guy. He lives in Germany. The guy that uploaded the picture, his name is Fraser. And if you guys want to see the picture, please do, because it's definitely worth seeing. Just the easiest way, I think, to get to it is do a search on Ticket to Ride Europe. And it's going to be the first picture, I believe, on the left, the top left of the pictures. And the picture's called My Sister-in-Law Dominating. And I'm sure some of you guys have seen this. Very pretty girl there with her arms stretched out in victory, winning Ticket to Ride Europe. The expression on her face is so cute and it's priceless. And it really epitomizes the spirit we have here at the league. We're all about fun in gaming. We don't take ourselves too seriously, like a lot of you guys do on The Geek, and you just think it's the end-all of everything your games are. But check out this picture. And if you guys want to know a little more about her, and Fraser, the guy that uploaded it, we were going to call him and talk to him on the air here, but he lives in Germany. I was trying to get – he gave me a Skype, and you guys have Skype internet phone where you can talk. He had an account with them, but I don't have an account, so I'm going to just read you what he said. He says, thanks very much for the message. That's his sister-in-law is a German speaker. We wanted to talk to her. She lives in Geneva, Switzerland, and he said he'd be happy to talk to me, and he tells me a little about her. She's a casual gamer. She's generally plays just with him and his wife. And the only game she owns in her collection is Ticket to Ride Europe. And he says she got that after being sucked in playing the original Ticket to Ride at his place. But he says her favorite game is Through the Desert. And we're going to say congratulations. We're going to give the Platinum Pawn Award to Fraser for the best picture on Board Game Geek that we've saw this year. And congratulations to him. Both him, Fraser, and his sister-in-law. He didn't mention her name. But both of you guys, we're going to give you a $5 gift certificate to Target. And when you're in the U.S., and a steak dinner here where you can get the best steak in the USA in Houston, Texas. So congratulations to you both. And if you want to redeem those prizes, just email me when you're in the U.S. I don't think me sending the gift certificate to Target overseas will do you much good, but it might. If you want me to, I'll be glad to, but you've each won a $5 gift certificate to Target and a steak dinner. We'll be right back. The league is real. The league is here to stay, and look out.
Tell me, do you like ginger? Do you like Marianne? It's so. you like ginger or Mary Ann? Tell me, do you like ginger or Mary Ann? It's like the pyramids of Egypt. It's a mystery for sure. I'd love to take both those girls on a 3-hour tour. Tell me, do you like ginger? Do you like Mary Ann? Tell me, do you like ginger? Do you like Mary Ann? Tell me, do you like ginger? Do you like Mary Ann?
Yeah, you see that. Now that is a dilemma. Ginger or Mary Ann. You talk about the dilemma of the censorship issue on Board Game Geek. That's nothing, nothing compared to the dilemma of who you would choose, Ginger or Mary Ann. I'm thinking, I'm leaning toward Ginger right now for me, but I mean, that goes back and forth. I mean, it's unending. Now, what do you think? No question, Greg Schlosser, Ginger or Mary Ann? Mary Ann, hands down. It's no dilemma for him. That's Mary Ann through and through. What about Dirk? What would you think, Ginger or Mary Ann? I think he'd say, whatever. What about Aldi? Ginger or Mary Ann? Actually, I don't think he'd respond. I think he's be so busy looking at the computer screen that you can slap him away from that. He doesn't have time to think about that. He's got his hands full on Board Game Geek. You know, by the way, if you think I'm being hard on this guy, I'm not. They've really put together a great site for Board. If you follow the site over the years, it was at its best a few years ago. I got friends that are computer guys, by the way, and I kid them, but they don't know when to leave well enough alone. I mean, leave it alone. You had it right. The same with your board game speaks. I mean, you had those in an entertaining format. Then you went and ruined them. I don't know if any of you guys caught the latest one, some of the later ones they did where they just had a round table and just talked about one game, which basically turned into a sales session, and that's another thing that's ruined the site. Or I understand the commercialism on there. I think a lot of the guys that are attacking my posts may actually be game company employees. We don't know. We don't care, but in my view on the censorship is you cut out the bad language, cut that out, because you're going to have kids on a board game site looking at that, but you just leave everything else, and who cares? And I think one of the ladies on my site, one of my postings, she I forget her name, but she really nailed it. She said, you know, what are you guys complaining about? You blame yourselves. You saw who posted it. Why are you reading it, you know? And as far as scaring new people off, I mean, come on. Nobody's scared. I mean, the only person scared is Aldi. You're scared, and you should be. Right. He won't email me. He's scared. By the way, when I sent him an email on the SmackDown geek list, I said, look, repost that. Schlosser himself said he had no problem with it. He thought it was funny. And Aldi didn't answer me. He sent one of his lackeys, one of his other admin, one of his other minions on the geek to respond to me. It's the guy that, I forget his name, the guy that has Play Nice on his badge. He's the guy that told me, look, we talked about it. It sounds like they had a formal board meeting. We talked about it, but we decided not to give you geek list privileges again. So I'm very proud of that. Very proud of the fact that I hold the record for most complaints. Free speech is what it's all about. We love it. And remember, there was no, the personal attacks you're talking about, it's not personal attacks, it's attacking ideas. We're debating ideas here. We love you guys, but we're debating your ideas. You're just mixed up. We're here to straighten you out on your games, on your ideas. We're going to get you on the right track. That being said, I told you I was going to introduce you to some members of the league. Now it's time to do that. It is time to introduce you. And by the way, I got a lot of support from our friends in England. Say hello to all of our friends in England who appreciate satire when you see it. And the first member of our group here is from England. It is time for Tea and Crumpets, War Games and Trumpets, with Colonel Winston Smythe. It's time for Tea and Crumpets and War Games and Trumpets with Colonel Winston Smythe. I thought I already said that. What are you doing, Bubbles? Good to see you, Colonel. Good to see you. Let me explain to you folks. The Colonel and I have been playing a game of Africa Corps. I believe it's your move, Colonel. If you will go, please. Yes,
you'll have a job beating that, my friend.
Yes, I will. But you apparently overlooked my movement factors here. I'm moving in to attack you at Night Bridge. And I believe the odds are 3-1. Usually my strategy on this is I don't like to attack unless I can get more than 2-1 odds. I got 3-1 here. I'm going after the colonel, and I'm rolling the dice. I rolled a 6, and looking at the chart here on 3-1, the defender is eliminated.
Very good, very good.
Not bad, huh?
Very good, yes.
That's it. See you next time, Colonel. Colonel Winston Smythe. Yeah, Bubbles, she's not crazy about him. I think she thinks he's a little too stiff, but I figured you'd like that. Well, that was bad. All right, let me introduce you to, this is the guy we go to. By the way, him and Dirk have a lot in common. They both love Tishu. In fact, we call him Tishu Kanishu. And we're going to go to him now and ask him a question, and he usually gives us wisdom. So let's talk to Tishu Kanishu. So, Mr. Kanishu, what do you think of men who play games with pastel camels?
Also, men who play with pastel camels will find inner peace, but will never score with the hot chicks.
Thanks for tuning in. That's it for the show today. You've been listening to Steve Weeks, the Mad Gamer, master of the gaming universe. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm way out of time here, but come on the show if you want to talk. Let's talk. Until next time, this has been League Radio, the League of Untouchable American Gamers.